from WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Michelle Corum, and this is Redux. For the week of July 21st, on this episode of Redux, we bring you stories about money, politics, and housing. First, the mayor has money to spend, and he's thinking infrastructure and public safety, especially safer neighborhoods.
We have kids that are destined to fall through the cracks if we don't step in.
Next, Gwen Graham is running for governor and has the thumbs up from two well-known Jacksonville figures, Jake Godbold and Garrett Dennis.
She's also fought to protect the right to vote and supports the right of restoration, which is something that's also near and dear to my heart.
A solution that saves the homeless. Think shelter first, then services.
People do much better if first you move them off the streets into housing and then provide them the supports they need.
And what's tiny and green and you can live in it? We'll cogitate on that for a bit and we'll explain ahead on Redux. For the third year, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry is making public safety the focus of his proposed city budget. As WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride tells us, Curry says there's also room for more infrastructure spending after voters last year approved a sales tax extension to pay down pension debt.
Good morning.
Mayor Curry led his budget presentation Monday with a proposal to add 100 police officers. Over the past 2 years, JSO has hired 80.
We've got public safety issues that need to be solved. The police force was gutted in previous years. Dangerously low levels.
He's also asking council to consider funding 42 new firefighters and spend millions on replacing fire and police vehicles. Curry also has a $50 million plan he's calling Safer Neighborhoods, which includes investing in Edward Waters College, higher pay for lifeguards, and free swim lessons for kids. And he wants to reform the Children's Commission and the crime-fighting initiative Jack's Journey to focus on kids with the highest needs.
We have kids that are destined to fall through the cracks if we don't step in.
He's also asking City Council to approve more than $130 million for improvements like road resurfacing and parks, and $8 million to demolish the old courthouse and City Hall to prepare for developers.
You cannot be a suburb of nowhere. If we are going to attract private dollars downtown, we must prepare downtown for private investment.
Curry also wants to increase reserves for emergency spending and pension reform. City Council will next workshop the budget before it takes effect October 1st. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
Later, on that subject, during First Coast Connect, reporter Nate Monroe with the Florida Times Union told host Melissa Ross it's the first budget since 2011 that the city has had some money to play around with.
I mean, there have been years, the last 6 or 7 years of the budgets have actually gotten smaller. And so this is the first time he actually, there is some money to sort of spread, you know, kind of spread the wealth. And public safety, I mean, look, this is a mayor who ran on a promise to get crime under control. And that has not happened yet.
Florida gubernatorial candidate Gwen Graham has the support of a Jacksonville City councilman and a former mayor. As WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, Councilman Garrett Dennis and former mayor Jake Godbold are endorsing the former congresswoman over her three rivals in the Democratic primary.
At the Mary Singleton Senior Center Monday, Dennis told those gathered in the cafeteria that Graham has supported public education and the Affordable Care Act. And he said she's committed to helping ex-felons re-enter society.
She's also fought to protect the right to vote and supports the right of restoration, which is something that's also near and dear to my heart.
Graham supports a proposed constitutional amendment to automatically restore voting rights to those convicted of certain nonviolent crimes. She's also in favor of reforming the ACA and says she'd work with Republican lawmakers on compromises, but she's staunchly opposed to current GOP proposals to repeal and replace the law.
The block granting is particularly bad for Florida. It's going to hurt seniors. We need to be expanding Medicaid. The fact that that Governor Scott did not take Medicaid expansion, people have died. And I don't know how our legislators put their heads on their pillows at night.
Graham is also critical of state lawmakers for how they've implemented recent constitutional amendments. She says their decisions not to fund the state's Florida Forever land buying program and to ban smokable cannabis go against the will of voters. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Well, this month, advocates for the homeless have been in Washington, D.C. to talk about the best ways to help people living on the streets. WJCT's Sid Hoskinson tells us about a new initiative being tested here in Jacksonville.
The head of Jacksonville-based Ability Housing, Shannon Nasworth, attended the National Conference on Ending Homelessness. The nonprofit recently released preliminary results of a two-year pilot program called The Solution That Saves. Its purpose is to determine the cost-effectiveness of providing shelter first and services second. Nasworth says that's the opposite of how things have been done in the past.
Traditionally, we always thought we had to put people through different programs and get them ready to move into housing. But the data shows that that's not accurate. People do much better if first you move them off the streets into housing and then provide them the supports they need.
Ability Housing is working with 58 clients in the pilot program. Nasworth says in the first year of the study, the Housing First approach cut costs from nearly $5 million to $2.5 million. Savings are associated with arrests, jail time, hospital stays, emergency room visits, shelter nights, and free meals. Sid Hoskinson, WJCT News.
It's billed as the first ever LEED, that's L-E-E-D, certified tiny home in the country. The U.S. Green Building Council of Florida, Eco Relics of Jacksonville, and Norsk Tiny Houses are partnering to put it all together. Melissa Ross had questions about it on First Coast Connect. Here she is talking to Sarah Boren of the Green Building Council of Florida and Jenny Edwards of Norsk Tiny Houses.
Tiny houses are sweeping the nation and the world. Lots of people are getting into this craze, but what's special about this tiny house that you're building in Jacksonville?
This one's going to be super green and the first LEED certified. So that LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and we have a lot of, obviously, green goals with it. But we also want to use a lot of repurposed materials and open our process completely to huge education opportunities. So anybody wants to learn about the LEED process or even building a tiny house or a green building in general, where all our meetings are open, et cetera.
Jenny, tell me a little bit about Norse Tiny Houses and why you're getting behind this and why this is environmentally on point.
Norse Tiny Houses started out because I lived in the giant corporate world and realized one day, why do I do all that? And so now I live tiny and wanted to share that with other people, finding ways to make a difference in our community, provide low-cost housing, to provide healthy housing, and that's why Norse Tiny Houses got behind it.
They're going to start building it around the end of August at Eco Relics in Jacksonville. You can watch it go up through a 24/7 webcam, rivaling any panda or eagle cam. Also, there's a tiny house festival coming to St. Augustine in mid-November. Go to leadingtiny.org. That's L-E-E-D-I-N-G, tiny.org, for more information. This is some nice music. David Luckin, what is coming up musically in the next few days?
Well, if you were around 49 years ago, you're going to want to be back with us Monday night at 10, because right. 49 years ago, that very week, this very week, the Moody Blues released their third album, In Search of the Lost Chord. I've got a beautiful vinyl version. We are going to play the album complete starting at 10 o'clock on Monday night, and then we'll fill out with some rare tracks. But it's going to be a real treat. If you love this album as much as I do, you're going to want to listen Monday night at 10. to have your own little flashback to 1968 when times were different.
And what's the most popular song on it?
I think Ride My Seesaw. It didn't even make the charts in America, but it made the charts in the UK. But I think when you see them live, that's the one everyone really goes crazy for. So join us Monday night for Route 66 and enjoy In Search of the Lost Chord.
Thanks.
WJCT Music, streaming around the world online or on the WJCT app. This podcast, as well as all of our on-air content, is on the WJCT app, available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. You can also find all of our audio and web stories at WJCTnews.org. Of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. I'm Michelle Corum. You've been listening to Redux.